Kevin Cole with you. I'm down in the performance space with Polyrhythmics, and it is so great to have you guys in here. It has been a long time in the works, for me at least.
Yeah, we're excited to be back in beautiful new room.
I know.
Awesome space.
It's sweet. So we'll talk about the new album, Octagon, in just a bit, but how about taking it away with a couple songs?
You got it.
Cool.
We'll be right back.
Rhythmics live on the afternoon show, sounding absolutely fantastic. Two songs from the new album Octagon, Fairweather Fiends and Marukan, and sounding great.
Thank you.
Ben Bloom on guitar. You got a big band here. Why don't, Ben, do you want to give a quick rundown of what's going on so listeners get a visual in their mind of what they're hearing?
Absolutely. Picture nine clowns in a room. No, basically, to my left, we have Nathan Spicer at the Hammond organ, clavinet, and keyboards. We have the lovely Lalo Bayo on percussion playing congas, playing timbales today, bells, all kinds of stuff. Grant Schroff, a.k.a. Champagne Bubble Bath on the drums and cymbals. We have Jason Gray on the electric bass guitar, Scott Morning on trumpet, Art Brown on sax, and Elijah Clark on trombone.
Welcome, guys. Great to have you here. So Ben, the first album, the first EP, I should say, came out in 2010. How did you guys get together? What was happening then, and what were you looking for?
Well, basically, myself and Grant, at similar times, had kind of this idea. We knew each other a little bit, but we sort of had this idea at the same time in Seattle to sort of start a large format. Afrobeat-influenced polyrhythmic funk band, instrumental focus. And we kind of just happened to connect on this idea at the same time, and we knew a lot of similar musicians. Some people, Grant knew more than me, and I knew some others. And we kind of just started getting together and shedding some music with the purpose of putting out a 45. We really wanted to make vinyl.
Yeah.
And basically what ended up happening was the players that you see here today, or here today on the radio, as it were, are the same people that ended up in that room on that very first recording session.
Sweet.
With us. And, we basically recorded an EP. A few of those tracks made it to 45. And... really from there, it just kind of took on a life of its own, as a recording project and then later as a live touring unit.
Yeah. Now, for listeners who may not know, your music is sometimes described, it's definitely funky and world beat or Afrobeat. How would you describe it yourself, and what does Afrobeat mean?
Well, I describe our music as polyrhythmic funk music.
Yeah, nice.
I really try to stick to that, description, only because we have so many influences that are really, really broad, all kinds of world music influences as well as, modern influences from rock to reggae to hip-hop to funk to jazz, all kinds of stuff. But we really wanted to stay true to the idea of creating music that can be danceable but also, heady enough to be appreciated, by the connoisseur of notes,
as it were. Yes, it works both ways.
So that's kind of the thing. Afrobeat, really is a real strong influence in the sense that it's, pretty much defined by that as polyrhythmic funk music.
Yeah.
And a lot of Fela Kuti's recordings really influenced us early on and still to this day influence what we do. And so we definitely incorporate that, but as you can see, none of us are from West Africa. And
Seattle.
Exactly, West Seattle represent. But, it's definitely a strong influence, but it's just one of many flavors that we'd like to introduce in our music.
Yeah, I love it. The music is incredibly expansive. As you say, it's very danceable, of course. Also heady, though. And I'm wondering, when you write the material, does it all come together as a group just starting to jam and you find a groove that you lock into? How do the songs take form?
We write music in a lot of different ways, and one of the amazing things about being in a band for this many years with the same number of people is that it's always changing. Our writing process, our influence process is always changing. A lot of times, a member will bring a song to the band that's complete.
Yep.
And in a lot of cases, we write collaboratively as well. So maybe a groove and a hook will be established, and then someone like Scott will come in and write a horn arrangement for it. Or, it's really all over the map. It's very rare. Our time is we're usually performing,
yep,
touring, sitting in a van, or recording, or working towards one of those goals. So it's, time to just jam is sort of happens on stage more than anywhere else. And so what ends up happening is a lot of music really gets written on tour and through our live shows. So a lot of our fans who come to see us live get to hear a lot of the music way before it's ever recorded.
So there's a lot of freedom when you play live. Improvisation is part of what you're doing.
It is. Improvisation is one of the elements of what we do. I think that more than anything, we try to rely on our improvisation as a tool, but we try to actually hone our craft of not making it seem like we're improvising.
Yeah.
And really trying to, even when we are improvising on stage, really trying to do it in a way that serves the music and serves the song. Most importantly, it serves the groove. I mean, the foundation of our music is built on circular and oval-shaped grooves. That's basically the two foundations.
This is good.
The two pillars of the building blocks to a polyrhythmic skyscraper.
What's the circular?
So, a circular groove is one that kind of keeps going around and around in circles.
Yep, yep.
So you can basically start and you can enter or leave at any time.
Cool.
Where the oval one tends to have a little bit of inflection at the end of the measure and maybe a little bit of a pickup at the beginning of the measure. So it kind of whips you forward. So it's sort of a natural start and stop point.
So is it one or the other, or is it...
Sometimes it's one or the other, and sometimes it's both. Really, both of those are really powerful at creating a trance. And that's kind of what Fela Kuti really, really mastered with his music and his ability to take these circular and oval-shaped grooves and really put the people in a trance so he could deliver a message. You know, our message is melodic content and, harmonic exploration.
I like this. I'm learning a lot. Melodic content.
Yeah.
That's good. So you recorded or put out a 7-inch earlier last year that you recorded at Orgone Studios. And the studio is always described as legendary whenever I hear anybody talk about Killian Studios. But what is it that makes it legendary?
Well,
I don't know much about it other than Orgone recorded there. And I imagine it's just floor to ceiling with analog gear.
Well, without giving too much of it away, because I encourage anyone to get out there and book a session at the studio, I think it's legendary because of the recordings that come out of that studio.
Nice, yeah.
You know, I think that Sergio is an amazing engineer. They use very primitive and, antiquated gear and a lot of not just analog, but all kinds of stuff that's funky and weird. And Sergio just has a really good wrangle on it. I mean, it's the type of situation where you walk into a very small room, very small space, very similar to the way that we recorded our first few 45s ourselves.
Yes.
But they're just masters. Sergio's got a great ear. They're masters of their tape machine. They really have the drums dialed. They have everything kind of situated in a way in the room. I mean, Nate played the Hammond that they had there through like a Fender twin amp, so it wasn't even through a Leslie or anything like that with the recordings, but there's just a sound, you know. There's these rooms that you walk into, these places that you play that just have a certain character, and you really can't. I mean, if you're making good music, you can't make it sound bad there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a good reason for to record there.
Very cool. Polyrhythmics live here on the afternoon show. The new album is Octagon, and you guys toured pretty heavily for the last album. What's the plan around this album that came out in November?
So. It's true. We part of our flow as we've been developing as a band is trying to balance the record, you know, the whole industry of recording and promoting a record and doing all this stuff. And we kind of fall in a lot of different genres, so there's not really like a guidebook to follow. Yeah. So what we've done is we've gone out on the road and we played our tunes, whether they're new or old or brand new, sometimes for a long time before we put out records. And that being said, like our touring cycle and our record releases sometimes overlap.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of I look at it like we're a band that's continually touring.
Yeah, just
and we're trying to. We're basically mobile record shops. You know, we go across the country to sell our records on vinyl and CD and anything that we have that's current. Because if we don't do it, who will?
Yeah, that's a great visual. That's a cool concept. Mobile record shop while you're playing, while you're touring. It'd be really awesome if you could also have like a mobile recording studio, right? And you could be recording stuff on the fly as it's going on. And
well, we do that as well, actually. And Jason, we're really, really fortunate in this band to have Jason Gray as our engineer, our bass player, and
yep.
He's got a studio in West Seattle that is at this point somewhat mobile, but will be a fixture of the West Seattle community here real soon. And he did a lot of the mixing on that. He does a lot of our live recording and archives and stuff. And we have a lot of stuff that we're kind of sitting on that we're excited to release. One thing that I'm super pumped about is a recording that we just made with Jason and a fellow musical soul brother named Lucky Brown in mm-hmm. the Northwest. And we're going to drop a 45 this spring that we just finished and is off to the pressing plants. That's really, really hot.
Very
it's called
cool.
I Believe in Love, and it'll be coming out later this year.
Very cool. Polyrhythmics live on the afternoon show. How about more music? What do you got next?
You got it. We're going to play a song that comes from our last full-length record. This song is called Chingador. It's from the Libra Stripes album, and it goes like this. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Polyrhythmics Live on the afternoon show. I've got that song down as Lord of the Fries.
That's right.
And what's that from?
That is a song that we wrote last year or so on the road, and we've been playing it, and we just haven't had the chance to record it yet.
Very cool.
Wanted to give it to you guys.
Well, I appreciate you sharing it with the afternoon show listeners. And Chingador right before that from 2013's Libra Stripes. And, man, just sounding great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Doing two shows. So tomorrow night at the Rhythm and Rye in Olympia, and then at the Tractor Tavern on Saturday night.
That's right. Both of these are our vinyl release party. We finally got our vinyl copies of Octagon, so we have them for sale for both shows, and we're going to celebrate.
Sweet. And are those going to be at stores around town, too?
They are.
Excellent. Huge thanks to Jim, Justin, and Scott on video, Renata on taking photographs, Kevin Suggs on sound, Matt O running the board, Susan Hospitality, Larry Rose behind the scenes, and to all the listeners at Power KEXP, thank you so much. Polyrhythmics Live on the afternoon show.